The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I'll talk Major League Baseball, the top movies, Saving Seats, Tim Labesis from As I Lay Dying, NBA headlines, and this past weekend's UFC shocker, all this and more happening now.
And enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host, Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me. Hope everything is going all right with you. Coming off of 4th of July weekend. And I hope everybody had a nice 4th of July. I'm here in Nashville, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained some more, and it rained some more. And then it continued raining on the Saturday into Sunday morning. So kind of a washout 4th of July-wise. And anybody that follows me on Twitter, Ryan_Unsigned, knows that I was out grilling in the rain and tweeted some pictures out there. And I capped it off with a couple of beers as well. And the burgers were delicious, in case you're wondering. But good 4th of July. It was when did some fireworks with when I saw him. It was the first time he actually went and got to see fireworks, which was really cool. And I was worried that he was going to be afraid. I really was. But no fear, oohs and ahs, and we avoided the rain as best we could. There was about an hour and a half window there, 4th of July night, where it didn't rain. So it was kind of nice. It was, you know, obviously just wet and kind of overcast and dreary and humid, but ended up being a good night. And the fireworks show was pretty good, and I hope everybody had a safe 4th of July. Hopefully everybody still has their fingers. And if you listen to last week's show, you know the do's and don'ts of my fireworks. And if you did go to a party and almost light a tree on fire and shoot fire bottle rockets at people, kudos to you. Bottoms up. Cheers. Well, as you know, I mentioned last week on the show that we have this big, big show coming up next week, July 16th. It is a Revelator Music Show. We haven't done this. Actually, we've never done this. And this show next week is going to feature music from Varna, The Hush, The Lauren Wolf Band, and Spider Rockets. Now, the cool thing about this is that we have CDs to give away from The Hush, also a signed poster of The Hush as well, including with the CD. Now, they only printed 100 of these CDs, and we've got 3 of those CDs to give away. Also, Lauren Wolf Band were on back in, I believe, January, and The Spider Rockets, they've been on a couple times. Helena and the band have been gracious enough to donate some CDs for us to give away on that show as well. Now, here's the way you win those CDs on the July 16th Revelator Music Show. If you retweet the link to the July 16th show, you'll enter in a chance to win one of those CDs. Also, if you like us on Facebook and comment and like the actual post on Facebook, it's facebook.com/omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv on the Revelator post. If you like that post and like the Facebook page, which I recently created, Mike, my producer, runs that page. So feel free to bug him on there as much as you want to. And you also enter yourself in the drawing for winning one of those CDs, either a signed poster and a CD by The Hush, a CD by the Lauren Wolf and the Lauren Wolf Band, or a CD from Spider Rockets. 3 really, really great rock and roll bands. Coincidentally enough, we didn't plan this, all fronted by females as well. So we're glad that they're going to be a part of it. There's other bands who are part of it. Damon Black from Dark Blue is going to be on that show. Kev from Atomic Honey is going to be on that show. Varna, as I said, you know, so there's going to be a lot of great artists, a lot of great music. True Apothecary, the list goes on there. So you definitely don't want to miss. It's really kind of going back to our roots from the old unsigned days and really kind of, you know, thanking those people that really helped build us up to where we are. So, and hopefully you'll check it out and jam out with us. It's going to be a great show. And stay tuned. You know, follow me on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned, and we'll cover, we'll promote it all week, and it'll be a good time. It'll be a really fun show, and I'll DJ the actual hour. It's going to be a good time. But let's get into it tonight. We got a lot of interesting stories and sports news and some funny things to really kind of get into. And you know what? It doesn't get any better than this. You know, maybe you had a nice 4th of July. I shared my 4th of July with you. These two people here obviously didn't have – we were out bound and determined to make sure somebody didn't have a good 4th of July. George Burns, 44 years old, and Silvio Dunn, 43, in Miami, Florida. celebrated the 4th of July by reporting attacking a woman at a Key Largo bar. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go punch you in the face? Well, that's exactly what happened. They actually went to this bar, punched this woman in the face, actually took her pizza from her, took a fat woman's pizza, said they were too fat, and punched her in the face and ended up kicking another person onto the ground as well. One of the victim's fathers followed Burns and Dunn into the parking lot where the fight actually continued. Another woman attempted to keep Dunn away from the fight and then again ended up getting a right overhand to the face. In the face!
In the face.
That's right. You don't mess with Burns and Dunn on a 4th of July night when they're partying and drinking. They will punch you in the face. Now, it looks like Burns is charged with 3 counts of battery and Dunn is only charged with 1. So 4 counts of battery between the two. Happy 4th of July. I'm taking your pizza, fat lady. Speaking of food, Golden Corral. I don't know if anybody saw this or not. This is disgusting on an epic scale. Golden Corral fired a manager at one of its restaurants after a rogue employee. They call him a rogue employee in the article. I say this is an upstanding citizen protecting people from being very ill from eating disgusting food. Uploading stomach-turning video showing dozens of pounds of raw meat left outside near a dumpster. Now, mind you, this it's middle of summer. You got raw meat hanging out by a dumpster. The employee, Eric Holm, the owner Eric Holm of Golden Corral, who filmed the video, the manager involved said that the improper food storage was terminated and none of the following meats were served to people. How they know that it wasn't served or not, I have no idea. But the meats that were just casually sitting out by the dumpsters, uncovered, mind you, raw hamburger patties, raw baby back ribs, pork roast meat, chicken, bacon slices, green bean casserole, and a large hotel pan full of gravy. Mmm, gravy. All outdoors next to the dumpster covered in black flies. Nothing like raw meat and black flies in the middle of summer, right? That's disgusting, man. I'm telling you. I mean, you want to talk about health? You want to talk about some health code violation? That is health code violation to the max. Now, according to the guy who took the video, they were hiding the food during health inspection. I don't know why you would hide it by the dumpster. I don't know what's wrong with covering it up and putting it in a container and leaving it on the bottom shelf in the cooler. How about trying that first? Unbelievable. So the next time you see that Golden Corral commercial on TV, all you can eat wings and baby back ribs. You think about those baby back ribs covered in flies by the dumpster there in 80-degree weather in the middle of summer. Mmm, delicious. High in protein, for sure. The flies definitely, you don't use salt and pepper, you just cover in black flies. There you go. Season it up, cook it up, serve it out. Enjoy. That'll be $12.95. Thank you. All you can eat baby backs right over here. Thank you very much. Scarf them down. Yeah. You know what? I'm titling this next story, Save Me a Seat. I saw the story and I was debating whether or not I wanted to talk about this story or not. And the more I read and the more I laughed. This gentleman, Wayne Dodge, 51 years old, was arrested Sunday following a violent outburst at a Mormon church that reportedly started over seat saving. Now, Dodge is a regular at Meadows Ward at LDS or LSD, however you want to look at that, a church in Plain City, Utah. He sat in a section of pews being reserved by a family who does not usually attend the ward. And basically the altercation started in the disagreement on whether they were allowed to save these seats or not. They continued to escalate throughout the day, according to a report by Weber County Sheriff Lieutenant Mark Lothar. Say a Fox News affiliate out there in Utah. Now, police said the argument spilled out into the church parking lot and became physical. Punches were thrown, and one man returned from cleaning himself up after the fight. Said that Dodge allegedly tried to strike him with his car. I can just picture this. You don't attend this ward enough. I'm going to run you down. If you don't return my Big Love DVD collection, you're not welcome back here again. These seats are saved. You can't save pew seats. Yes, I can. I'm saving pew seats. I don't know. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I don't know. I don't attend a whole lot of religious services, and I haven't for quite some time. But I don't know. I mean, is saving church pews, is that okay? Can you save church pews? I'm saving these church pews here for the Wayne Dodge family. And if they don't come, well, too bad. The Dodges are coming. And, you know, and if they don't return my Big Love DVD collection, they're in some serious shit. The Lord's coming, and I'm going to run him down with my car. I don't give a damn. Unbelievable. But anyway, it looks like the bishop at this church called it a teaching moment. I would say that's definitely a teaching. Does that qualify as a teaching moment? This sounds like one of those NBC The More You Know things. The more you know. Church pew saving. These seats cannot be saved. This has been a teaching moment provided by the Mormon Church of LDS or LSD, whatever you want to call it. Unbelievable. Now, it looks like if convicted, Dodge would face felony aggravated assault charges along with 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine, according to Utah state courts. So I'm saving these seats. I don't care what it costs. I'll run you down. Dodge will hit you with the Dodge. But she's got one of those Dodge Chargers. I don't know. I would bet the house on it, man. But anyway, speaking of just really odd stories, this is a good one. Paula Deen. She's obviously been in the news. We haven't talked about it. But following her racist remarks, a company, companies obviously have been dumping her left and right. Now, a porn company called PureMature.com. Now, you can't say PureMature.com. It's got to be PureMature.com sent a letter to Paula Deen for a six-figure deal endorsement of their site. Full-figured or thin, arthritic or diabetic, you embody the perfect spokesman. The company wrote to Deen, according that she is a MILF. I don't think Paula Deen's a MILF. I think she's probably a GILF at this point. But apparently the six-figure deal is for very little work since there is no nudity required. Thanks God. At first I saw this and I was like, buttery. That's buttery. Paula Deen, come to PureMature.com. Paula Deen, that's buttery. Moving on, we've covered this story. We've talked about it quite a bit, and we talked about it with Eddie Halford and some other guests as well about the issue with Tim Lembeas of As I Lay Dying. Now, if you're not familiar with this, about a month or so ago, he was charged with a murder for hire of his wife. Yeah, no, that's not made up. That's real. And I made the joke, you know, whatever happened, taking responsibility for themselves, whatever happened to hiking accidents and faulty wiring, you know? I mean, whatever happened to that, right? But he was arrested on May 7th, so it looks like, you know, almost 2 months ago now. Actually, literally 2 months ago, on charges for allegedly hiring a hitman to kill his estranged wife, Megan, who was also the mother of his children and adopted children. The hitman turned out to be an undercover cop where he actually was caught on tape, allegedly recorded on tape, trying to basically purchase this man as a hitman, murder for hire. The singer's lawyer blamed the actions for erratic behavior stemming from excessive steroid use on May 30th. Now, he was posted on a $160,000 bond. On a $2 million bail, he must stay away from his wife and kids. I imagine that's probably an easy one to figure out, considering he tried to have his wife killed, and while remaining on house arrest to prevent any sort of flight risk. Now, he posted this really bizarre, lengthy statement on his Tumblr account, which has since been taken down. So someday I will be able to tell my story of all that happened and the detail of the facts to straighten out the representation. Many sides of this are fairly complex. You know, it goes on and on. It's basically kind of like this really long, bizarre ramble. In the meantime, many of you may have your assumptions and take essentialism of the press focusing on selling points at face value. Lastly, while I can't say exactly what it is I believe in metaphysically, I can explain that I'm interested in learning. I don't know if this is the same type of learning that they were talking about in the Dodge story. It's obviously a teaching moment of some type, but the ramble goes on and on from there. The post has been taken down. Another post went up saying, explaining why the post is being taken down, saying that he was afraid that what he said was going to be taken out of context. All I can say is this. that his court date is set for September 16th. And yes, he is right about one thing there in the summit. He will have a chance to tell his story about him purchasing a hitman to kill his wife. That story will be told in court September 16th. You know, obviously we make jokes about that, you know, offhanded remarks, those type of things, because I don't know, I'm a little twisted that way. But in the grand scheme of it, I mean, this is a serious, serious offense, and it looks like he's caught dead to rights. And for him to say that he's trying to learn from it, and it's a teaching. Obviously, you never want to stop learning, but the context of that big rant, that, you know, obviously I didn't read all of it, but reading it, very, very strange. This is very, very strange remark. Obviously, that's one of the reasons they probably took it down, to make sure that not a lot of people are going to be hearing it and reading that in other publications. And I'm glad I got a chance to get some copies of it and talk to you about it tonight. Very, very strange. Very, 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 very strange stuff. And moving on tonight, Grammy Award-winning country singer Randy Travis was admitted to a hospital. I was talking to my producer Mike about this, and he mentioned it before I had really a chance to. When I first saw this, you remember about a year or so ago, he was, you know, involved in some drunken brawls and was found, you know, drunk and passed out naked on the highway somewhere. Initially, when I saw the headline, I was like, "Oh man, Randy Travis got drunk and got in a bar fight." That's originally what I thought this was, you know. Turns out it's actually a serious heart condition, a viral condition that's caused by a virus in the heart. He remains in critical condition at this point, and we'll keep you updated. Obviously, he's been working ever since that incident about a year or so ago. He's actually been working on his sobriety, which is good. Kudos to him on a bounce back. Unfortunately, he's having some health issues, but we'll keep you abreast of the Randy Travis situation. Obviously, legendary country music singer. Again, we always poke fun, but. Hey, I mean, when you get drunk and naked on the highway and try to fight people, I mean, you're going to get made fun of. That's just kind of how it goes. That's par for the course. Let's head into more music news tonight. Pearl Jam has scheduled a 24-day show, 24 dates touring, starting October 11th in Pittsburgh and ending December 6th in their hometown of Seattle. Tickets are now available at several different general public locations. Tickets go on sale July 27th. With exact times and locations being announced per market on that day. So if you're a Pearl Jam fan, you want to see them live, they're playing 24 shows from October to December. And obviously, you probably want to get on their website and find out how you can get tickets. A guitar played by Led Zeppelin's guitarist Jimmy Page was sold for over 25,000 pounds. It breaks down to a little over $37,000 American. Sold at auction the other day, joining a host of high-profile music memorabilia sold on behalf of a charity. The Martin Birthday Special 2007 acoustic guitar was sold as part of an entertainment memorabilia at the Knightsbridge on July 3rd, being the highest bidder. As well was also a custom guitar donated by Page at the charity auction for Brazil's Children Trust, for whom he is actually a patron of. Also, other memorabilia auctioned off there was David Bowie's handwritten lyrics, the Genie, and also select 12-string electric guitar that he used to record Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. Now let's take a look at some baseball news. We covered baseball last week for the first time in a long time. Heading into the All-Star break here, kind of interested to see how things are going. But before we get into that, we just had 4th of July. And, Cracker Jacks and, I think everybody's got at least a memory or two of, going to the game with their folks or something, at least some type of memory going to the ballpark, great American pastime of baseball. And I thought, one of those things is always, throwing out the first pitch obviously is a big deal. And then you have the Star Spangled Banner. And I pulled together some clips of Star Spangled Banners I thought everybody would enjoy. This first one is actually from a hockey game, but I thought it was fitting. It's summertime, Star Spangled Banner, but this one is just too funny not to pass up, even though it's actually at a hockey game. It's actually a Canadian singer trying to sing the American National Anthem, and you just have to take a listen. Check this out.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's first gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars knew the perilous night.
white stripes and bright stars at the dawn's early light. Whatsoever we say, and the twilight still gleaming, and the lights of Empire, the bombs bursting in air.
You know what I like there is that the crowd actually knows the words and has to help her through at the end, which I like. The bomb in air. Please, someone help me. I don't know the words. I'm Canadian. But here's another good one. I don't think anybody can forget this. Maybe some of the younger listeners won't remember the Carl Lewis one. But for those who actually were alive when this happened, this is good stuff.
Now.
Yeah, make up for it, baby.
For the land of the free.
Oh, the land of the free. And then one of my favorites, and that is the classic Roseanne Barr. I'm surprised no one has tried to put this into a punk song. Roseanne, I love that one. Oh, the pure hate from the crowd, just the booing, the hissing as she's just, you know, pushing through the Star Spangled Banner. Now that we're all warmed up and we've caught up on some Star Spangled Banner talk, let's take a look at the Major League Baseball standings, the wild card picture as it is heading into the All-Star break, which is next Tuesday night. But also don't forget next Tuesday night, July 16th, our Revelator music show featuring a CD giveaway with The Hush, Spider Rockets, DeLorean Wolf Band, and also featuring music from Varna, Kev from Atomic Honey, Damon Black, True Apothecary, and a bunch of others. So definitely check that out, omnis.tv. And also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/omnis.tv. That's omnes.tv. Major League Baseball, American League, you have Boston, Oakland, and Detroit moving past Cleveland after this weekend as the three division leaders. Now you look at the wild card picture right now. Texas, Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Yankees, and Cleveland at the bottom, 3.5 games out of the wild card race right now. Really, really rough weekend for them, for the Yanks, or for the Tribe. The Yankees, okay, they obviously trying to get Jeter and A-Rod back. But you look at Tampa Bay. I mean, you want to talk about a team that's been on fire 5 in a row. They won 9 in the last 10, and they're right in the mix. If the wild card were to start right now, they would definitely be in it. Like I said last week, this American League race is going to be up and down, up and down, up and down all the rest of the way. It'll be interesting to see what acquisitions are made at the trade deadline after the All-Star break. Rumor is Detroit is trying to pick up some pieces from the Philadelphia Phillies, who look to be sellers at this point in the season based off their record. Again, remains to be seen. Nothing obviously finalized as of yet. Looking at the National League, I don't see a whole lot of change here in the National League. I really don't. The only thing that's changed is the pitcher Pirates are not a division leader anymore. They're still in the wild card race. You have St. Louis, Atlanta, and Arizona, which I didn't think Arizona would be there. A division leader anyway. I thought maybe they'd be a wild card to get. Still a lot of baseball to go. Only 4 games separate all these teams anyway. You have the rest is Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Washington. Cincinnati's played some pretty good ball. They last couple here, but No one's really stepped out. Everybody's pretty much 500 out of their last 10 here. Again, Washington, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Arizona, Atlanta, St. Louis, all of them are just kind of, you know, just kind of muddling through. Pretty good baseball teams. No one is really taking the reins here. I think if somebody gets on a hot streak, obviously St. Louis has won 3 in a row, but still 500 out of their last 10. If somebody gets on a hot streak in any of these divisions in the National League, can really make, I think, some make some hay and really solidify themselves a division leader and obviously home field in the playoffs based off record. You know, we don't talk a whole lot of tennis. I don't think, I can't remember us really ever talking tennis at all, but I thought this story was too historic not to bring up. Andy Murray secured his historic title with his straight set victory over number one Novak Djokovic at Center Court yesterday, or July 8th in this case, making him the first man to win Wimbledon men's single title since Fred Perry did in 1936. It was reported that over 17 million people tuned in to watch the Scotsman write himself into the history books. The first time in 77 years someone from the native land has actually won Wimbledon. 77 years. Unbelievable. You imagine all the things that have happened in 77 years in Great Britain. Unbelievable. It's got to be a list of, Margaret Thatcher. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, of all the things that have changed just in the world alone in 77 years, forget about it, in one country. Unbelievable. Congratulations to Andy Murray, and really a likable guy, too. You know, there's not a lot of athletes out there where you go, he seems like a good guy. And, you know, I don't follow tennis that closely. Maybe I'll leave it on here and there and watch a little bit, but Andy Murray seems like a pretty likable guy, and congratulations to him. You know, it's cool to see that, you know, everyone in the country, you know, you have that many, 17 million people watching it and, you know, people tweeting about it and, you know, just an event that doesn't, you know, something like that historically doesn't happen hardly ever. Heck, last time it happened was 77 years ago, 1936. And so really cool to see. Speaking of big time shockers, how about this one? UFC 162, Chris Weidman knocks out Anderson the Spider Silva. Nobody saw that coming. I sure as hell didn't. Unbelievable. Now, a lot of people are discrediting Weidman's victory. I've seen some people talk about, maybe it was fixed or something. Come on, stop that garbage. Definitely, I've never seen anybody get hit with a left hook like that and fake it. He flat out got knocked out. But when you're the best fighter in the world and you come into a fight and you don't respect your fighter, it just proves that you can get beat. If you don't come in, even if you are a better fighter, and let's make no mistake about it, Anderson the Spider Silva is a much better fighter overall, top to bottom, grappling, striking, defense, the whole deal. When he is motivated and takes his opponent seriously, he's a much better fighter than Chris Weidman. He just really is. Credit to Chris Weidman for coming prepared and bringing the heavy hands to Silva, and he hit him hard, man. And he threw a combo, and it rocked him, and he followed it up with a straight overhand right, and that was it. The ref stopped it. That was a TKO in the second round and brand new middleweight champion and UFC, which really changed the landscape of the sport big time, because Anderson the Spider Silva has been, for the most part, untouchable. The only other fighter in that sport that is considered untouchable, at least in my eyes, is John Bones Jones. And John Bones Jones is not a guy who's going to ever take another fighter lightly. He's just not going to. That's not his style. And Silva had it coming. He had his hands down, and he got caught. You get caught with a punch, anybody can get caught with a punch. But when you come in there lackadaisical, not respecting your opponent, believing your own hype, you get knocked out. You know? So there you go. Also, this is a bizarre story coming out of Brazil. Now, keep in mind, this is an amateur of soccer event. How about us tonight, huh? Covering UFC tennis and soccer back to back to back. Here's your NASCAR report. Anyway, so let's keep in mind this takes place in Brazil. It's an amateur game, soccer game. And after you hear this, you may or may not want to go to Brazil to see the Olympics in a couple years. Now, this happened this past weekend. An amateur soccer match in Brazil came to an unbelievably gruesome end when a referee was murdered by outraged fans. Yes, I said a referee was murdered by outraged fans. His head was cut off and placed on a spike. The beheading that took place was in retaliation to the official actually stabbing another player to death during the match. Meanwhile, the player's friend, family, invaded the pitch and attacked Da Silva, the referee, and they reportedly tied up the referee, beat him, stoned him, lynched him, quartered him, ripped his head off, put on a spike, old school style. Goal! Unbelievable. I saw this and I was like, this can't be real. This has got to be like a Onion story or something. This can't be real. This can't be real. Sure enough, there was actually raw footage. If you go to deadspin.com, you can actually see the raw footage of this as well if you're into that kind of thing. But I mean, I've heard of referees, you know, not getting emotionally attached in games, but this is a little much. You know, stabbing a guy to death. Unbelievable, man. I mean, wow. I don't know who won the game. I guess it was called. I guess it was a tie. You know, it ended up at a 1-1 tie for all I know in the game. I don't know the teams that are playing or anything. All I know is referee stabs player, player dies, friends and fans of player draw, quarter, beat him, stone him, lynch him, quarter him, stick head on spike. Game, set, match. NBA news. Man, a lot going on in the NBA right now. There really is. Off-season, obviously, the Miami Heat won the finals. Blech. And LeBron won another ring. So we have free agency. Yeah, you know, the NBA draft there a couple weeks ago, Anthony Bennett being number one, Victor Oladipo number two, Cavs in Orlando picking one and two. So we head into the free agent off-season. The big acquisition was Dwight Howard. Leaving the Los Angeles Lakers. That doesn't happen very often. You look at the Los Angeles Lakers history. 17 national titles, and Dr. Jerry Buss just passing away this year. I don't think this happens under Dr. Jerry Buss if he's alive. Easy for me to say. I'm obviously not part of the Lakers organization, but in his time, you just don't see big-time basketball players and free agents leaving. You just don't see that unless they're at the end of their career and they're landing the next big fish. In this case, Dwight Howard at 28 years old, 29 at most, leaving really in the prime of his career. Leaving the Los Angeles Lakers after they traded for him the year before to get him there. Leaves Los Angeles and is heading to Houston to play with James the Beard Harden, one of my favorite players in the NBA, if you ask me. Now, I'm sure if you're a sports guy like I am, you listen to ESPN, Fox News, all those other media outlets. And look, you can look at both sides of this. Long-term, Houston, is it a better fit on paper playing with James Harden? Again, one of my favorite players in the NBA, that's a good move. It really is. Houston has better talent. Now, does Houston win a title in the next 3 years with Dwight Howard and James Harden? I'm going to say no. I don't think they do. And here's a couple reasons why. The reason I don't think that is they need more pieces, obviously. They need more shooters. They need more depth. Really need to upgrade their talent overall. But a couple of things that are going to help, that are going to hinder them, unless they can make a move. Now, the Rockets in the last couple of years have proven under Kevin McHale, they've been able to make moves. Obviously, getting Dwight Howard, pulling the trade with James Harden, getting rid of Kevin Martin. Boy, how bad is that James Harden trade look for Oklahoma City, by the way? Unbelievable. And you have some things to address. Now, you have Omer Asik that they signed two summers ago from the Chicago Bulls, his contract is very back-ended, heavy-loaded. Jeremy Lin is the same way. I signed him the same summer as Asik. Those are two bad contracts that are back-loaded very heavy, meaning that most of the salary comes in their third and fourth year. Excuse me. They need to find a way to move those contracts, at least one of them. They have to move one of them, especially if you're looking long-term and finding another star-quality piece to put on that team with James Harden and Dwight Howard. Whether they can do that remains to be seen. And that's going to be the trick on getting more talent there to whether or not they can win a title. But the West is so tough anyway. You have, you know, the Clippers, they're going to be much better. The Lakers will be back in a year or two. You know, San Antonio doesn't look like they're going anywhere. Oklahoma City will still be good. They still have Kevin Durant, last I checked. I just don't know if Dwight Howard has that fire, you know, that heart to be a winner. And making it through the Western Conference in the NBA is no easy task. Especially in the last, gosh, even the last 10 years. It is not easy. So you look at the Lakers. I don't know. I mean, who's on this team now? You know, they signed Chris Kaman to a one-year deal. Kobe, does he come back from the Achilles injury? Looks like he's going to be able to. Is he going to be Kobe Bryant coming off a torn Achilles? The same injury that ended Shaquille O'Neal, Isaiah Thomas, and a host of others? I don't know. Remains to be seen. Still Pau Gasol. There's rumor of amnestying Meta World Peace. I guess it would be peace out in L.A. I don't know. It remains to be seen there. And then you have the other side on and the Boston Celtics. Everyone's like, oh, they're rebuilding. I like what the Boston Celtics have done. It's risky, but sometimes you got to do what's best for the organization, not the loyalty to your players. It is a business. Danny Ainge, credit to him. Doc Rivers didn't want to be there. Fine. You don't want to be there. You want to go out to L.A.? Good. I'll trade you. I'm trading my coach to the Los Angeles Clippers for a first-round draft pick. Then they're like, you know what, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, it's been a great run. You helped us get a title. We've been contenders, for the last 5 years. I'm trading you to a division rival, no less, the Brooklyn Nets, for 3 number one picks. A rebuild of sorts. But look, in Boston, you still have Rajon Rondo, who I think is one of the top 10 players in the NBA. You have Jeff Green, who had a breakout season, who will be asked to do a lot more this year. And you still have Avery Bradley, who I think is one of the best combo guard on-ball defenders in the league, who's not named Tony Allen. And look, if Jared Solinger can get healthy and stay healthy, I think Jared Solinger is a 15-point, 12-rebound-a-night guy if you give him 30 minutes, if he can stay on the court and get back in shape and stay healthy. And you have some other nice pieces there. And you got all these, you free yourself up with a salary cap now. And you acquire 4 first-round draft picks in the next 4 years. And then you bring in a really young, hungry coach, Brad Stevens from Butler, which was a shock. I don't think anybody saw that coming. That was way out of left field. Brad Stevens leaving Butler to come coach. Now, I think Brad Stevens is a very good coach, X's and O's wise. His biggest thing is going to be handling ego in the NBA locker room. That's the biggest challenge, I think, for any college coach, making the jump from college to NBA, especially in the NBA. Maybe in college football, too. That's probably the biggest jump. Handling the egos. These guys are making a lot of money. How do you relate to them? How do you handle the egos in the locker room? That's going to be his biggest challenge. X's and O's, game plan, all those, defensive scheme, offensive rhythm. All those things, Brad Stevens is a great coach. He's not going to have any problem with that. X's and O's, scheme, all those type of things, motivation, practice, all those things. You don't have to worry about that. Brad Stevens has got that covered. How he handles ego in the locker room. Now, everyone keeps saying he's a smart guy. He'll find a way to do it, and I have no doubt that he will. Once he figures that out, that Boston team is going to – they found themselves a very, very good young coach. Now, speaking of the Clippers, obviously they acquire Doc Rivers. They re-sign Chris Paul. They get Jared Dudley from the Phoenix Suns. They acquire J.J. Redick via trade from the Milwaukee Bucks. And they also hire Alvin Gentry, who used to coach with the Phoenix Suns, as a member of their staff. I like a lot of the moves they've made. Losing Eric Bledsoe hurts, but I think he's going to do very, very well in his new home. I like what the Clippers are doing. They're going to be a very good team. Now, another team, I'm a Cavs fan. And silently, quietly, the Cavs have been very, very busy. Now, it came out today that they offered Andrew Bynum a 2-year deal worth $24 million. Risky, considering a guy sat out a whole year with a bad knee. But if healthy and motivated to play, Andrew Bynum is one of the best centers in the NBA, no doubt about it. He's a guy that can, on any given night, can score 30 points and 20 rebounds. You put that on your team with Kyrie Irving and that young nucleus, that Cavs team's dangerous. And I like what they've done. 2 key signings, and I think one of the biggest signings overall that will probably, if the Cavs make the playoffs, which I expect that they will after they're done making all the moves they're going to make, one of the biggest moves, the underrated free agent signings, is signing Jared Jack, a deadly combo guard who played at Georgia Tech, was a backup with the Golden State Warriors, and really it was an intricate part of that Golden State Warriors team that pushed the San Antonio Spurs to 7 games in the semifinals in the Western Conference playoffs. Look, he's a guy who's been in the league a long time, but he's in his prime. He's 29 years old. This is a guy who is going to get back on defense. If you're hanging your head on defense, Jared Jack is going to yell at you. He's going to get in your face, and he's going to yell at these guys. He's a team leader. He's a leader in the locker room. He's a veteran guy. He's going to teach these young guys how to be pros. That's really why you bring a guy like Jared Jack in. And he's a decision maker. He's going to make good decisions during crucial parts of games. That is the kind of guy you need in your locker room. And I guarantee Jared Jack is – I wouldn't be surprised if he's up for Sixth Man of the Year. That's how important I think this signing is and how under the radar it was. Jared Jack is a heck of a ball player. And on a young team like the Cavs have right now, that's the kind of guy you need in your locker room on a young team. Someone who's going to hold them accountable when they hang their head, when they're not doing the right thing professionally as a professional athlete in the NBA, in the association. That's the kind of guy that you like having in your locker room, who's going to keep it positive, but he's also going to call them out if you're messing up. That's the kind of guy you need. I like that signing. Now, the Warriors, Obviously, losing Jack is big. I think that's going to affect them. But they do land Andre Iguodala, who leaves Denver and signs with them. There's going to be a host of other signings on and on and on. We'll keep abreast of it here through the summer in the NBA, making headlines all year round. You got to dig that. Now, let's take a look at the top movies at the box office this week, starting with number 10, working our way up to number 1. Now You See Me at $2.8 million. This Is the End at $5.8 million. Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain. You know, Kevin Hart is starting to turn into the Tyler Perry of movies. This guy's always in movies. Kevin Hart. I think his stand-up's good. I just don't want to see his movies. That's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Man of Steel, $14.4 million. Total gross in 1 month at the box office, $271 million. White House Down, $13.4 million. In its 2 weeks at the box office, making $50 million. World War Z, which I gave my review on last week, it is a must-see. If you're looking for a movie to see when you hear this show, World War Z is at the top of my list. That is an intense, intense film. Action-packed from start to finish. Brad Pitt is phenomenal in it, making $18.4 million. And it's 3 weeks the box, I was making $158 million. Monsters University at $19.7 million. And 3 weeks at the box office, $216 million. The movie The Heat at $24.7 million. Opening weekend, The Lone Ranger, they say it tanked, but I mean, in a five-day holiday weekend making almost $50 million, I don't know if necessarily a tank or not, but the reviews are not good for The Lone Ranger. And Despicable Me 2, in its five-day holiday weekend, made $143 million. Wow. $83 million on the holiday, in the weekend itself, which is, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but the holiday weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and into Monday, making $143 million. That is a big-time opening for your first week at the box office. Those are your top movies here on Revelator. And again, don't forget, July 16th, Revelator Music Show, your chance to win CDs from The Hush, The Warren Wolf Band, Spider Rockets, hear great music from all kinds of other great independent artists that we've been supporting for a long time here. On omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv. And how do you win those CDs, you ask? Again, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/omnes.tv. Or you can also retweet the show link on my Twitter feed, which is Ryan_unsigned. Retweet it. Enter yourself in a chance to win one of those CDs from The Hush. Also includes a signed poster, The Lorne Wolf Band and Spider Records. And also hear music from those actual albums on next week's show, along with True Apothecary, Varna, a host of other bands as well. So definitely check it out next week. It's the Revelator Music Show, July 16th. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 18, Throwback in the Face. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.